I threw my back out on Thursday, and I stood up and then just simply couldn't move. Any of you have had that experience, know how painful that can be. So thank goodness for Vicodin, that's all I can say. So today, in honor, as I come to you via Vicodin, I'm going to be offering a high mass today. But I will try to be coherent anyway. At least I'm not grouchy this morning. Well, this love reading is always very challenging to me. It's often said at weddings, in which I will always say, married love is patient, married love is kind. It's a lot jealous. It's not saying I told you so. Very challenging words. Well, when I was, before I entered the seminary, I would often go to daily mass. Those of you who know me will be surprised to learn that I went to a 6:15 a.m. mass. that tells you something. But later I went to the 8 o'clock mass. I got a different shift at work, which was good. And I used to come in early to pray before mass because that was the only time I could have before the Blessed Sacrament. So I began to come at about 7:30, and I would find my favorite seat. And oftentimes there would be this other lady, and she would come in. And, you know, this was a big church. It was probably about three times the size of St. Ed's. And there were about 50 of us at daily mass. So people, being good Catholics, we spread out all over the church, you know, keep as much distance as possible from everyone else. But this one lady, I would be sitting there, and she would come in and sit down right behind me and then kneel right next to me. You know how that is? And so you see, you're sitting there praying, and these two hands show up next to you. And I'm thinking, okay, can you please move a little bit further away, you know? And but then she would get out her rosary. And when she got the rosary out, the beads would clank up against the wooden pew. Then she began to pray, and the rosary would scrape up against the wood. And I'm sitting there going, you know. Of course, I was not as holy then as I am now. I don't know why people laugh at that. Huh? I don't know what you would have done. You know, the next day I moved, of course, you know, because I think she was telling me, you're in my seat, actually. But maybe she didn't even realize what she was doing. But every so often, I'd find her behind me. You know, I'd move, and then she'd end up in that same behind me again. And I, truth be told, we all tend to sit in the same seats. And it's just the way, I don't know, all Christians are like that, but Catholics tend to do that. So, what I finally decided, I said, you know, getting up and moving is very rude. You know, especially if the church is open, if you get up and move when somebody sits down, that's really obvious. I thought about looking back at her and giving her a look, but that's rude also. So what I did when I found myself in that situation is I gave her a nickname. I called her Rosie the Rosary Rattler. Well, that's good. Somebody thought it was funny. And so after that, I was able to deal with it, you know. And she continued to bug me every so often. And I remember that very well. And, you know, it sounds like a very trivial story. And in a way, it is. But if you've ever been bugged by a noise or some little thing, you know, it can really get on your nerves. And Rosie is everywhere. Rosie is someone we encounter in all walks of life, and I've found her everywhere I've gone. You know, it's anything that really bugs us. In fact, when you look at today's scripture, you find that St. Paul is telling us, he says, love is patient. That implies someone's trying our patience. Love is kind. That means this person is not easy to be kind to. Love is not jealous. It means somebody has more than me. You know, we're tested by the things that we find difficult, whether it's my back this week or by somebody making noise in the Adoration Chapel. Ever been in there praying and someone comes in and suddenly they're making noise. They're praying out loud, you know, and you're wondering, what are you going to do? Well, or the cell phone goes off in church, what do you do? What do people do when the cell phone goes off in church? Look at them. And so the kind thing, of course, is to ignore it. And in my case, if I hear it go off, I'll put you in the homily, but that's different, you know. But so Rosie is everywhere. And so we get the impression that Rosie is important in our lives. This type of thing is essential for our growth. Without her, who would I love? How would I grow in patience? How would I grow in my love for God if everyone pleases me, if nobody challenges me, if nothing bothers me? How am I going to grow? I'm not going to grow. I'm going to think I'm growing, but I'm not going anywhere. It is in the challenges that we are most blessed. And these people and these situations are actually blessings. It all depends on how you look at it. They can be problems or they can be opportunities. The choice is up to you. Sometimes we have to find something funny or something, some way to get a handle on it. You know, St. Teresa of Lisieux, in her autobiography, The Story of a Soul, which I love very much, she talks about something very similar to this, where she used to go in the chapel, and many of you heard this story, and behind her was a nun making noises of some kind. The book said a rosary, but the nun said later she was clearing her throat or doing something that was very irritating to St. Therese. And St. Therese said, you know, what I really wanted to do was to give her a look to let her know that she was bugging my prayer time. And I thought maybe I should move. But I realized that would hurt her feelings. But she could not pray. This is the thing about this story. She did the kind thing. And she stayed where she was at. She did not look at her. She gave no indication this nun was bothering her. But she also could not pray. And God did not take that away from her. So what she did was, she offered that noise to God. She said that became a symphony. And she found a way to incorporate it into her prayer time. And everyone's been blessed by that story ever since. You know. So there is something that, another thing that came up after the last Mass on Saturday night is somebody wrote me an email yesterday evening. I happened to read it. And one thing about a backache gives you a lot of time to read. I haven't been able to get off the chair or the couch very much. But she said, you know, I think that there's a Rosie where I work, and I'm going to try to be nicer to her. Don't we all have a Rosie in our lives somewhere? And she said, but you know what? I'm a Rosie too. And I must be bugging somebody. And I realized we're all Rosie. We're all Rosie. We're all both bugged and people that bug others. And so we're opportunities for grace for people's lives. There is a spiritual thought that I have written out, and I read it every so often. It helps me to get a handle on life. It says, the level of spiritual maturity that I have achieved at my death is the level at which I shall be perfected for all eternity. The level of spiritual maturity I have achieved at the end of my life is the level I will be at and be perfected at for all eternity. So when you look at life that way, suddenly these little things take on very great importance. It's only in the realm of faith that these things make such a difference. Before we see God, He uses surrogates like this to challenge our love, to test our love, because it is in the testing that we grow. Some things are not so trivial as rosary beads on a pew. We have some very serious things in our lives that come up, but God is with us and pulls that challenge to love when it costs us something, when it is not easy, when the person in front of me is not being kind to me. Can I be kind back? This is the challenge of our faith, and this is where we grow. Rosie has a, she has a, there's an end to that story. After I went in the seminary, when I would come home during the summer and sometimes at Christmas, I would go back to my church there to Mass, and I'd find Rosie there as she was. I learned her name, which I've since forgotten again, but her name wasn't really Rosie. That was one I made up for her. But she worked at the post office. And then I noticed later that she was gone. She was not there anymore. And I asked my friend down there about her, and he said, well, she had dementia and went off to a nursing home. So Rosie is not there anymore. But I have found Rosie everywhere I've been ever since then, you know. She is present in all of these opportunities that you and I have. We work with her. We live with her. Sometimes we go to church with her. Sometimes we're married to her, if you know what I mean. Oh. I see that one hit home. But those are our graces, if we know how to look for them. This is where we're going to get rich. This is where we're going to grow. Rosie is still with us.